Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" It's a rather amazing sight. Have you seen it? Blackbirds pestering an eagle. One swooping in, then another, and another. The eagles majestically soaring through the sky. And here these teeny blackbirds pestering him to drive him away. How often do we treat the Lord that way? When His only intent is to save us. Moses was doing it in our text. The Lord, remember, had appeared to him in the burning bush, calling Moses to go and deliver his people from bondage. And Moses made an excuse, pestering God. "Who am I?" The Lord demonstrated that was the wrong question, the wrong focus, turning it around. "I am your who." But Moses wasn't done. He kept pestering God. "Well, who are you?" And the Lord showed what the right answer, what the right focus is with his next answer. "I am that I am. I am the unchanging God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the faithful God who hears the affliction of my people and is coming to fulfill my promises, bringing them out of bondage into the promised land. I am the living God who will judge the dead idols of Egypt. I am the God of wonders, so that I will bring my people out of Egypt with the spoils of Egypt." I met a man this summer, the name of Nick, not our Nick here. This one had probably had a more tormented life than this Nick. His grandpa, his father, his brother had all been murdered. He'd lived his life looking over his shoulder for it to happen to him and trying to get even. Driven from his home and marked for death, also by tyrannical priests, he finally accepted an alternative that he'd enter the military service rather than the death sentence that had been laid on him. And yet things got worse. His company of soldiers in a foreign country was surrounded. They'd been betrayed by one of their own, and then massacred. Nick had managed to hide, escape, but now he had no one to turn to. No food, no supplies. He was starving and desperate for spiritual comfort. He finally listened to a priest who assured him that God would help him if he dedicated himself to the saints. So he started his daily routine of bartering favor. He became convinced that he was hearing an inner voice that must be God Himself speaking to him. And yet, every problem of life made him fear he hadn't done enough to win God's favor. Every time the voices were silent, he feared God must have rejected him now. He did not know the Lord I am. The Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who can't be manipulated and bought. Every attempt to thus gain favor with him is like those blackbirds pestering him, trying to drive him away. But the Lord, who rather gives you and me his grace, gives you the covenant promise in connection with Jesus Christ that your sins have been forgiven, that his saving righteousness is yours. That covenant is the I Am covenant. It doesn't change. It's not withdrawn. It doesn't fail. The God who announces himself to us, I am that I am, goes on to say, this is my name forever. This is my memorial to every generation. And yet Moses still pestered God with a third excuse. Who are these people? Remember, Lord, they already rejected me. They're stubborn, ignorant, foolish. They're not going to believe that you appeared to me. But graciously, the Lord reminded Moses that his word that could use that worthless thorn bush as a vehicle of his living eternal word could also turn that staff in Moses' hands into a serpent that would devour every enemy, could turn every resisting hand to leprosy, could turn even Egypt's gift of life, the Nile, into the blood of death. Moses needed to learn that it's the Lord's word, his message, your sins have been forgiven in the blood of Christ, that could turn those people around. So the question is not, who are these people? But rather, these people are the who that my word will make them. My own. Moses needed to learn that. Nick needed to learn that. How often do you and I? The Lord has, in ages past, spoken in various ways to his prophets. But Hebrews points out to us that in the completed revelation in his Son, we have been given something far superior, far more sure and certain than any visions or inner voices. The prophetic word confirmed. It's never silent. It's never changed. It never fails. It never fails to assure you. You are the holy child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But still, Moses pestered and moved God to anger, saying to him, I'm slow of speech. I can't do this. You're not enough. They won't listen. What he is really saying is, I won't do it. How often do we say by our actions, I won't do what you want me to, God? Blackbirds pestering an eagle with one wrong move are caught in those mighty talons. It's not our quickness nor our merit that keep us safe from the Lord's talons, but only his grace. Relying on rituals and inner voices is, like Nick, going to leave us caught in the talons of tyranny. But the Lord I Am, in His unchanging grace, lifts you up to soar on that promise that He has given to you in that unchanging grace. I am that I am. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 54, stanza 1.
With the college students right after chapel on the bleachers.